vulnerability. We're told that this is something to fear, something to avoid, something to revile. But what if I told you that this was a lie? We've all been conditioned to believe that allowing ourselves to be open, taking off the armor that we mistakenly think will protect us, is dangerous. But not doing this is the very thing that keeps us from connecting to our babies, our partners, and even ourselves. What if I told you that embracing vulnerability is the key? It's where all the good stuff happens. It's where we can see and be seen at our most human and imperfect selves. It's where we can stop the comparison to an unachievable ideal and stop the divisive judgment of others who make choices that are different from ours. Vulnerability is the emotion of parenthood. At some point in your parenting journey, trying to get pregnant, moving through the waves of labor to bring your baby earthside, amid pouring everything you are into raising this helpless new human, that tangled knot of fear, excitement, love, and responsibility you feel in the pit of your stomach threatens to harden your heart against the power that is vulnerability. I'm here to help you push back against that all too familiar pull. In season 2 of Birth Happens, our theme centers around vulnerability, why it happens, what its true purpose is, and how we can invite more of it into our relationships with those we love. If all of this is making you feel especially vulnerable right now, stick around. You're in the right place. I promise. Welcome. My name is Barb Buckner Suarez. For over 2 decades, I've worked as a childbirth educator and a couples coach, helping thousands of families say yes to parenting. I've got some thoughts about how life changes when we choose to become parents. Those thoughts may be irreverent, funny, or countercultural at times, but I promise you, they will always be real. Whether you're curious about starting a family, in the middle of your 4th pregnancy, or your birthing days are long over, raising the next generation is hard, and all of us could use a little more support. I want this to be a place where you can find that support. Because let's face it, birth happens. As an extremivert, a term that I use to capture what it means to be an extreme extrovert, I've often felt the sting of being misunderstood when it comes to the emotion of vulnerability. Let me explain. Introverted folks are often described as introspective, thoughtful, and discerning. Meanwhile, extroverted folks are described as loud, distracted, and willing to be friends with a million people, all on the surface, of course. But y'all, I don't even know what it means to keep things shallow. I was getting ready for takeoff once, and my seatmate was already ordering up a beer as we sat on the tarmac because he was so nervous about flying. Now, I've had to make a couple of true emergency landings in my lifetime, so I get it. Without telling him that, I spent the next 90 minutes getting to know everything I could about this guy. Where he was going, who he was visiting, what he was planning on doing while he was there, and this wasn't a one-sided conversation. Once I started asking him to open up, he did the same for me. And so there we were. Two nervous Nellies, at first only sharing the surface details, but by the time our wheels hit the ground, we'd both shared some things I'm not sure either one of us had ever told anyone else. There are folks who will hear the story and claim it to be just an example of, I'll never see you again, so I can tell you my deepest, darkest secrets. But that's not what happened. When he let me in as to why he was needing to slam a beer at 10 a.m. on a Tuesday, we were able to connect over the much deeper emotion of vulnerability that can only come with expressing to another person that you're afraid. If I hadn't asked him why he was nervous out of curiosity and without judgment, and he hadn't answered with openness and without self-consciousness, what we shared in that space and time would have been just another missed opportunity for connection. Think about what might happen if we allow ourselves to be vulnerable around the life-changing experiences that are pregnancy, birth, and parenting. What depth of connection could you imagine creating with your baby, your partner, and all the other folks who are doing the most important work ever of raising the next generation if you allow for more vulnerability in your life? And how exactly can we allow vulnerability to bring us closer together when so much of our connection must happen virtually right now? We need to address the vulnerability elephant in the room: parenting during a pandemic. I wrote a blog post titled "Pandemic Parenting" at the very beginning of it all, publishing it on March 13th, 2020. Looking back at this post now, it seems quaint, naive even, that I would offer any sort of thoughts about how to get through what I think we were all hoping would be short-lived. Anyone remember when schools were calling it just an extended spring break? 2+ years later, I'm sure we can all agree, no matter where you land on the political spectrum, that the real-life implications of what it means to parent during a global pandemic have been hard for all of us. But I'd argue it's been especially hard for those with children under the age of 5. In my opinion, y'all win the top prize for the "this pandemic sure is freaking hard" scale. Our family dynamics changed dramatically. My college-age daughter had to move back into the basement to live out her junior year. My son had a drive-by graduation from high school. My 16-year-old, who really only liked school for the social scene, basically didn't see anyone for a year. And my youngest will have his 3rd birthday happening with the threat of COVID still a factor by the time this episode airs. All of my kiddos had to do some sort of Zoom or hybrid school for the past couple of years, which students and teachers alike will tell you completely sucks. But at least I could trust that they were doing what they needed to be doing, so that my husband and I could move our work fully in-house, him in the tiny basement office during the day, and me at our dining room table. It hasn't been easy, but it hasn't been nearly as challenging as it's been for the families that I've been working with during this time. First of all, to all families who've had babies since March of 2020, y'all are rock stars. You've done this incredibly brave and courageous thing of saying yes to parenthood when what's waiting for you on the other side is either unknown or nothing like you'd expected your early parenting to look like. You've decided that the hopes and dreams of having a family supersede the events that are happening even on a global scale. Many of you found yourself stranded without any classes to help prepare you for this life-changing event. With so much swirling around my heroes, expecting in new families, it was even more important that there would be opportunities for y'all to still gain current, evidence-based info about this life-changing event. This was the main reason I was so focused on helping to get the Legacy Health Prenatal Ed and Parenting Program up and running online. And I'm so grateful for everything that the administration and our awesome team of educators did to make it happen. Within a month, our full fleet of classes were up and available. We've even had people from other parts of the country take these classes because nothing was being offered closer to home. Far too many of you had to birth without your partner or support person, and this happened again during the latest spike, where birthing folks found themselves having to choose between their partner or their doula as their main support. But even the possibility that your partner might test positive for COVID and not be able to accompany you through an experience that is arguably one of the most vulnerable ever has been cause for deep anxiety at a time that's supposed to be full of anticipation and joy. I think about the expectations you and your families must have had, and likely still have, about being at the birth or coming to help you in the early days and weeks postpartum, and how hard that was to navigate even before the pandemic. For some of you, being able to use COVID as a reason to delay the onslaught of visitors may have been a small silver lining. Only helpers are welcome relief for the first couple of months, and let's be honest, not everyone we're related to fits that description. For others, there might have been a lot of negotiating back and forth about what felt safe. And this may have been very different depending on who was doing the negotiating, the new parents or the new grandparents. But even beyond that, all the usual touch points that new parents have come to rely on for casual, but necessary support in the postpartum time were gone. No in-person Baby and Me support groups. No story time at the local library. No infant swim lessons. No baby showers unless they happened outside or on Zoom. No coffeehouse hangouts with a group of new parents and their babies. Oh, my friends. My heart goes out to you. Pregnancy, birth, and parenting have always been some of life's most challenging experiences. But in the past, they felt less so in community with other expecting or new parents. I'm so sorry that you haven't had that as part of your parenthood journey. Or maybe I should say how incredibly proud I am of how you have found community during this time. We've all been asked to rethink how we create community when it's had to happen at a 6-foot distance, or with everyone behind masks, or virtually meeting up in the Zoom room. I can see it happening in the classes that I teach. The other night, we did a 3-minute breakout during the middle of the class, and when families came back, a few of them reported honestly that they didn't do the class assignment. They just wanted a chance to talk with the other families in the group. My latest Becoming Us class had two families that were not local. One family zoomed in from Atlanta and the other from Chicago. In our final class, both families talked about how incredible it was to share the space with one another, and I have high hopes that these families will stay connected to one another as their babies grow, despite the physical distance of living in different time zones. This experience of bringing another human being into the world is vulnerable business, y'all. When we can find other folks willing to be real about what they're going through and realize that we're not alone in our experience, those feelings of what the actual hell were we thinking can be shared. You can laugh, cry, vent about how challenging all of this is with people who really get it. Parenting since March of 2020 has been a thing for all of us. But parenting during a pandemic with a newborn or a toilet training toddler or an under 5-year-old kiddo who sometimes goes to daycare or preschool but only when it's not closed due to COVID breakout, y'all win, hands down, as far as I'm concerned. But you know who also wins during this time? Your babies. They can't believe how lucky they are to get to spend more time with you. And believe me when I say, while I know how much it sucks to try and juggle work from home and parenting, your kids feel like they've won the jackpot. Most of them have gotten more time with their parents than they would have otherwise. And here's something else that I want to share with you that I believe with all my heart. The particular littles that you're bringing into this world at this particular time in our history are the ones that this world of ours needs so desperately. After all, we can't begin to predict what our world will look like when these babies come of age. And I know that can spark a lot of anxiety and feelings of vulnerability for our babies' futures. But saying yes to raising the next generation means not knowing what the future holds and doing the work anyway. As parents, we'll always feel a sense of intense vulnerability, no matter the age or stage or development of our children. We only want the best for our littles, and newsflash, they never stop being our littles. We're not given any guarantees in this work we do, creating, birthing, and parenting the next generation. I know what we're all going through right now can create spikes in our cortisol and put us all on edge as we try to do the right thing, the best thing, anything that ensures that nothing bad will ever happen to these babies we love so much. But the right thing, the best thing you can do for your babies, is to find a way to care for yourself first. What does this mean? Here are a few ideas. Limit the amount of media, social or otherwise, that you consume daily. Get outside, even if it's only for a 5-minute walk around the block. Listen to music and sing all the lyrics you can remember loud and proud. Move your body. Shake out the tension from head to toe. Rest or meditate, but let someone else guide you. Have you tried yoga nidra yet? Breathe. 3 nice big inhales with an emphasis on the side out exhale lets your body know that you're okay. Because in this moment, you are okay. try to move through the world right now from a place of openness and generosity, rather than being closed off and in fear. It is compassion and empathy that will allow us all to make it through this period of uncertainty. It's in times like these we can lean on one another in our collective humanity to hold each other up and move forward together. I know this can be a scary time. I know your feelings of vulnerability are being tested. Now, more than ever, please look for support and ask for help. Finding your support system has never been more important. I hope that you can find support, validation, and comfort here. I see you. And as always, I've got your back. COVID-19 made every one of us around the world figure out what our new normal would look like. I've been writing about the fourth trimester and the idea of a new normal for years now. It makes sense. I work with pregnant and newly parenting people. But up until now, I felt like maybe these two ideas were solely meant for this narrow population. We've all been forced to go through our own version of what the hell happened, a feeling that new parents know all too well. The similarities are striking. One day, we're going about our lives, doing the things that we always do, heading off to work in the morning, grabbing some lunch with a coworker, making plans to head to the coast for spring break, and bam! This event, which started out kind of slow and steady, begins without warning to pick up speed, and is it ever fast and furious. Full of unexpected twists and turns that leave us feeling extremely vulnerable, this experience shows us how we're both helpless and stronger than we ever knew ourselves to be. And in a matter of days, we find ourselves grappling with a completely new existence. We're now living in a world that we'd read about or seen a few movies with this as its central plotline, but we'd never experienced it for ourselves. Sound familiar? We have all woken up to our own version of this experience, whether we've ever been a new parent or not. It doesn't matter. Here's my proposal. Whenever we experience anything in our lives that is so stressful that it causes us to question everything we thought we knew and makes us dig deeper than we've ever had to before, we need to give ourselves the time and space to adjust to what is our new normal. And that's where the idea of the fourth trimester comes in. In the world of labor and birth, the fourth trimester refers to the 3 months following the birth of the baby, where everyone is all hands on deck and doing whatever is necessary to just make it through. Communication needs to be clear. Expectations need to be lowered or dropped altogether. What's happening in the outside world needs to be paid some attention, but the real focus needs to be on what's happening right here, right now, in our own homes. Again, sound familiar? The fourth trimester represents the grace period that we allow for ourselves and those around us, all on the same steep learning curve, trying to do the very best that we can. There are so many new skills that have suddenly become essential to getting anything done, but they must be learned in an incredibly stressful environment that continues to change day by day. And while to me the similarities between the immediate postpartum period and the place we find ourselves in as a global community right now are striking, this isn't turning out to be a very feel-good post. Except for this. Something happens at the end of the fourth trimester. A new normal begins to take shape. And it is different than what came before. And it was hard to make it through those 3 months. And there will be challenges yet to come. But you made it through. And in that making it through, you've proven to yourself that you are strong, that you are resilient, that you are innovative and smart, that you can pivot and make hard decisions for yourself and the ones you love. I know there are a lot of people writing about the state of the world right now from a lot of different perspectives, but I'll continue to write from the perspective I know. We all need to give each other this fourth trimester, 3 month grace periods, over and over again, where we all get to find our new normal. because becoming a parent is likely to be the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life. But it has the potential to also be the most rewarding thing you'll ever do in your life. And who you are following the fourth trimester is a completely different version of who you were before this event ever happened. It's possible that following this fourth trimester experience, that collectively, we can also come out on the other side of this changed in dramatic and positive ways. It's possible that there will be moments during this grace period that we are awed by simple acts of kindness and beauty that are all around us, if we look with new eyes. Here's to figuring out your new normal. May it be filled with grace, humility, deep recognition for how challenging it can be, some days more than others, but also moments of gratitude for this time to pause, to connect with yourself and others in ways that are both new and familiar. One last thing about parenting that also applies to our situation right now. We were never meant to parent in isolation, and we will not get through this global situation unless we reach out, virtually or otherwise, and connect from a safe distance so we can keep that curve flat with others who are going through the same thing we are. We will get through this together. We just might have to do it in 3-month installments as we find our new normal over and over again. Being a mom is lonely. Why is making mom friends so hard? I swear it's worse than dating. Pretty sure I'm just going to throw in the towel on having a social life until I'm old and retired and can play wheelchair races with other loner stinkies down the nursing home hallways. Raise your hand if wine is your best mom friend these days. This was the post I read on a Facebook page that I lurk on. By lurking, I mean that I'm a member, but rarely do I post anything. The group is supposed to exist as a means of support for today's super connected new mamas. But when I read some of the responses to posts members have written, they feel anything but supportive. I'm not bashing the admins for the Facebook page. I believe they work hard to police any comments that are out of line with the quote prominently displayed on their banner. Whatever you do, do with kindness. Whatever you say, say with kindness. Wherever you go, radiate kindness. But when you have thousands of members, it's hard to keep up. I believe that being a new parent today is much, much harder than it was when I had my first baby 22 years ago. And the number one reason, in my opinion, is social media. Now, before you think that I'm going to tear into how social media is the devil and that we would all be better off without our faces glued to a screen, I'm not. Y'all, I'm not much of a ranter in general. But if I went on a rant about social media, it would make me a hypocrite. I share rich and robust connections with people all over the globe that I only know online. There are a few whom I feel incredibly close to, even though we've never met in person or even talked on the phone. So no, social media is not some sort of demon that we all need to try and exorcise from our lives. Parenthood on its own is one of the toughest gigs around, but add a little social media to it, and you've just made it that much harder. And here are some of the reasons why I think this is so. Number one, it's too easy to sit at your dining room table and connect with other people online instead of getting out of the house to interact with people face to face. Now, a global pandemic has forced this new reality onto all of us, at least for the time being. But please remember, we are hardwired for real connection. It's important to note that our new reality of mostly online connection has led to all sorts of issues, increased feelings of isolation, increased risk of perinatal mood and anxiety disorders, and a lack of conversational skills with someone other than your nonverbal infant or your partner. Number two, that lack of conversational skills can make any attempts to connect with people in the real world seem super weird and awkward. Hi, do you want to be my new parent friend? Number three, interaction with others online only means miscommunication is bound to happen. Did they just say that to me?
I cannot believe they just said that to me.
Number 4, engaging in interactions with others that are not face-to-face can be socially dangerous. Not being able to read body language and facial expressions means you might not understand the meaning behind the comment. They meant to convey humor or sarcasm. You interpret it as mean and hurtful. Number 5, it's also too easy to feel defensive about a parenting choice you've made and then go into attack mode if you feel your decision has been challenged by someone else, especially if they're just a name and a profile picture on a screen. Making parenting decisions almost always leaves us feeling vulnerable, a little bit uncertain, and defensive. And we often will say things online that we would never say to a person standing in front of us. Number 6, people don't usually share their parenting fails or any other fails, really, online. The virtual world is where most of us present only our very best selves, leaving out the not-so-glamorous details of our everyday life. This can lead others who might be struggling to believe that they're not good enough, strong enough, smart enough, pretty enough, enough to be able to do this parenting thing right. Number 7, while we all know that perfection is just an ideal and not something that really exists, it's hard to be okay with your imperfections when others are not willing to reveal any of their own. This is what I like to call the curse of the Pinterest parent. And number 8, despite all of this, we're left with online-only connections with others right now. But I hope the past couple of years have encouraged us to do this online thing a little bit differently. Because relationships that don't feel very deep or authentic are relationships that end up being not very satisfying and leave us wanting something more. It's no wonder, then, that the current generation is one of the most connected group of people in history, reporting the highest levels of loneliness and isolation. Wow. How did we get here? But more importantly, how can we get out of here? The feelings of vulnerability that get stirred up during pregnancy are intense and very unsettling. Everything seems to be changing. Our bodies, our relationships, our feelings about the world, our identities as individuals and as a couple. And there doesn't seem to be any place where we can find sure footing. It's one thing to make decisions for ourselves, but now we're making decisions for our baby, and we really don't want to screw this up. We've either had A, the greatest parents in the world, which is fantastic, but an incredibly tough act to follow, or B, the crappiest parents in the world, which is awful, and we're desperate to not repeat their sins. Either way, there's an awful lot of pressure to be the best parent ever. I've talked often about the need to find your parenting village. It's not necessarily easy, but it is easily one of the most important tasks of pregnancy and parenting preparation. And even if you already had your baby but still don't have your village, I encourage you to get out there and find them. It might have to happen online at first, but hopefully those relationships will continue once it's safe for everybody to be gathering again in person. This might sound challenging, but it's completely worth it, I promise. Go to where other new parents hang out. There are usually new parent support groups in most communities, and I'll link to some of them in the show notes. These groups are usually run by a facilitator who can help the group learn one another's names and provide some icebreakers or discussion topics for people to weigh in on. It might take a month or more of weekly hanging out for you to make a connection, and it may only be with one or two others, but it's a start. And even if it does feel weirdly like you're trying to date someone, hang in there. You may find that there are a few people you meet within this weekly group that you click with. You start talking or texting with them in between scheduled meetups. Who knows? Your new parenting BFF might be waiting to meet you in this week's new parent support group. As the weather is starting to warm up, go hang out at your local park. Parks exist for one reason only, so parents can gather, commiserate, and let their kiddos run wild, and not destroy the house. I realize there are lots of other reasons. This is just the one that saved my sanity when my kiddos were small. But here's the part that might be hard for some of the parents in this generation to hear. While you're hanging out trying to meet other new parents, put the damn phone
down.
Interact with your baby and the world that surrounds you. Be present. Look up and smile at another new parent. They're probably feeling exactly the same way you are. Strike up a conversation about how cute their baby is, or ask them where they got their killer stroller, or talk about how crappy the weather's been lately. But after the small talk, get real. Real connection does not occur when we hide who we are. Real connection with another human being only happens if we allow ourselves to be vulnerable. You don't have to dump on your new potential BFF, but it's also okay to reveal a little bit about yourself that shows them that you're human, that you're not perfect. This can disarm them and their natural tendency toward defensiveness as a new parent. What's the worst that could happen? You might get shut down, and if you do, that's okay. You're just not a good fit for one another. But what if they respond with, "Oh my God, I feel the same way"? Well, then, my friends, you've got the start of something beautiful. A new friendship that is based upon shared circumstances, similar parenting styles, and cute babies that you really hope will like one another as they grow up. The potential to make lifelong friends is there for the taking as a new parent. It's just going to require a little bit of effort and some shared vulnerability. But please, please don't give up. The mama who wrote that Facebook post did something that others might have thought a little crazy, but I thought it was beautiful and brave. She opened herself up and expressed her vulnerability about not having many new mama friends, and she did it online, which is very taboo. And do you know what happened? I counted, and she received 73 positive and encouraging comments from other mamas who were looking to make real face-to-face connections. She started an online thread for all these other parents to share their own feelings of loneliness, and it sparked in-person meetups all over the city. My hope is that these parents make connections with one another and begin building their village of new parent friends. Those who will be honest with one another about the challenges of parenting and willing to share their epic parenting fails. When we realize we're not alone on this new parenting journey, it can be so helpful. Because trying to do this parenting thing without your village is hard, and then one can be the loneliest number. How are you feeling in this age of connection? Hooked up and well engaged? Or lonely and in need of a friend? Where did you, or where will you, find your parenting village? So much of what we do as parents feels like it happens in complete solitude. If we're partnered, maybe there's a shared connection with one other person in this work, but still. We might end up doing the bulk of our parenting as a couple or solo without any real connection or collaboration with others. And you might find some comfort in that. After all, everything's brand new at the beginning. And as parents, we often feel like we don't know what the hell we're doing from minute to minute. So having anyone outside of our partner witness us being anything less than awesome at all the parenting things feels very, very vulnerable. But what do you think about parenting in solitude and collaboration? I think a combination of both could really work. As a devout extremivert, you might think that I would lean heavy on the collaboration aspect, and I do love it. The open exchange of what's worked for folks and what hasn't can be incredibly helpful, and I'll admit, provides me with the social connection that I crave. Personally, I find collaboration in all things, especially parenting, to be very fulfilling. But parenting in collaboration with others requires a few important things to be in place for it to go well. You need to like the people you're collaborating with. They need to be people that you enjoy spending time with and that you're eager to make time for in your calendar. We're all really busy people, y'all. So spending your most precious commodity, time, with anyone else means it must happen with people you really enjoy. There also needs to be a level of trust. Parenthood is one of life's most vulnerable experiences. You need to be able to trust that you can share your ideas around your new role as a parent freely and not feel uncertain or have any concern about being judged or shot down. You need to feel like the other parents you're collaborating with have your back. They're willing to speak truthfully, when requested, to help you course correct, but they'll always do so in a way that's supportive and has your best interests at heart. And finally, collaboration needs to be mutually beneficial. Both sets of parents need to feel like they're gaining something from this relationship. You need to feel secure that one or both of these things will happen because of this parenting collaboration. Your work in raising the next generation will create something better than what you could have achieved on your own. Or when the collaboration ends, you both feel better for having worked together in the first place. But what about the idea of parenting in solitude? When does it benefit you to be on your own, even if you don't consider yourself to be someone who needs or desires that alone time? In the beginning of new parenting, everyone can benefit from some time alone, trying to gather their own thoughts and beliefs about the next best steps. Before you can consider collaborating with someone else, you must discover what you stand for and what you stand against. You need to know your own bottom line when it comes to parenthood decisions so that others can only influence, not undermine, what your core beliefs are. There's also something to be said about parenting in solitude for the all-important step of assimilation of new thoughts and ideas that might arise after a period of intense collaboration with other parents. It's important to edit and see what bits and pieces from that parenting collaboration ring true, what you'd like to adopt into your own parenting experience, and what should be left on the cutting room floor. Being able to identify what matters most to you as an expecting or new parent on your own or as a couple is vital as you begin this journey. Becoming a parent is a huge, life-transforming event, and you need to feel like you have an idea of what your core beliefs are before you venture out to connect with others who are doing the same thing. But collaboration with other new parents can be so affirming. It's helpful to see how others are doing this parenting gig differently from you. Try not to judge. Be curious. Ask questions to deepen your understanding. Take what they offer and edit it to fit your own situation. Build trusting relationships with those you gift with your time and attention. And cultivate a sense that whether this collaboration will be short-lived or lifelong, each of you will have gained something positive that you can take into your solo parenting journey. Solitude and collaboration are great ideas to consider when you're looking to build your professional resume, but they just might be the best skills to cultivate when you're trying to build a family, too. It might be interesting to talk with your partner about where and how they're finding support for their new role as a parent, and how they've been personally affected by parenting during the pandemic. So many of the groups that exist in person or online are still focused on the experience of the birthing person. And this can make the dad or partner parent feel not only left out, but searching for support that's specific to their experience. Becoming a parent means feelings of vulnerability for everyone going through it. But our culture continues to downplay those feelings for dads and partner parents. Their experience is different, and they may not feel the same pressures as new mamas or birthing parents. More about that in episode 2. But encouraging your partner to explore their feelings of vulnerability might be helped by first offering up an example of your own feelings of vulnerability as a new parent, and then asking them to share what is similar and different about their experience. Find some time to sit down together to explore your own feelings of vulnerability around becoming parents. Try if you can to make this more of a conversation, not a time to vent or a time for either of you to figure out how to fix or solve anything. This is just a sharing session where each of you will be able to talk and then listen to one another, distraction-free. So no phones, TV, or other devices out, or within earshot. Here are some prompts to get you started. But feel free to allow this conversation to veer off the path a bit. The only guidelines are to share your perspective with openness and without self-consciousness, and then to listen to your partner's perspective with curiosity and without judgment. I had no idea that this aspect of parenting, whatever that might be for you, would be so challenging. It's left me feeling. Parenting during this pandemic has been hard for me in the following ways. What ways specifically? And it feels really. I thought these people, name your family members or friends, would have been there as part of our support system. And when they don't show up for me, I feel. I'm not sure how I'm supposed to give 100% to parenting, but then also go to work where I'm expected to give 100% as well. It's not realistic at all. And I end up feeling. Becoming parents has changed our relationship a lot. I really miss the you and me from before the baby. I'd like to share more with you about how I'm feeling. Listen, y'all, vulnerability is the theme of season 2 of Birth Happens for a reason. There's no way to avoid it once you've said yes to becoming a parent. Vulnerability is the emotion of parenthood. But I'm here to try and convince you that this is not necessarily a bad thing. Vulnerability is also the key to connection, and you know what I say about that. Connection is everything, y'all, and it begins with birth. So I hope you'll keep coming back to explore the gifts of vulnerability and how embracing this tricky emotion can make all your connections stronger. I so appreciate all of you who listened to season 1, where the theme was focused on intimacy. And thanks so much for waiting patiently for the second season of Birth Happens to drop. In practicing what I preach, I'll admit that putting myself out here in this way makes me feel loads more vulnerable. But y'all, that's where the magic happens. Exploring what it means to be fully human in our pregnancy, birth, and parenting experiences makes each one of us a little bit braver, a little bit more courageous, and a little bit more compassionate toward ourselves and everyone else who signed on to raise the next generation. If you know anyone who'd benefit from exploring what it means to be vulnerable here with me, let them know they can find Birth Happens wherever they listen to podcasts, or they can download and listen directly at birthhappens.com. And if this podcast is resonating with you, would you take a moment to write a review? It really does matter. And I love to read your comments. I'll see you next time on Birth Happens.